It's time for Building Alaska on KFAR Radio, brought to you by Gen Solar, the Fairbanks leader in sustainable, reliable energy solutions. And now, Building Alaska.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Building Alaska on KFAR Radio. My name is Jesse, and with me I have Josh Church. He was on for last week and the week before. He's going to be with us for a couple more. Guys, because it's so important to understand what's happening, and not just to be educated about what's happening behind the scenes in the state of Alaska, but also what we can do. It's crucial to not just have the information about what's happening, but how we can contribute. You know, what can we do on our end to make this place better? We were talking about, you know, growth. Alaska needs healthy, steady growth. We're seeing a lot of things changing. We're seeing the economy is hurting a lot of people, especially, you know, families that are large in numbers. We have businesses, mom and papa businesses. And here's another big one, schools. What's happening with the school system, it's pretty scary. When we were kids, if you heard somebody go to a private school or charter school or homeschool, they were... That was Richie the kid. That was him. You could never get into one of those unless you were special. But what's happening in the state of Alaska, a lot of people are moving their kids away from schools, putting them into private schools, putting them in some kind of charter school, but homeschool. Josh, you know, you and your brother, you guys are very involved with what's happening around the state, especially when it comes to schools. Schools are shutting down. They're trying to find out what can we possibly do with these buildings that are now empty. Mm-hmm. What's happening? What's going on with all of this?
Yeah, so we have performance-wise in the state of Alaska, the worst performance of any state in the country. We were the worst education performance.
Wow.
And yet we spend the most. So now you can say, well, that's because, you know, we have a problem in some of the rural communities. That's because we're more spread out. That's because we're in the Arctic. And these are all factors. But at a certain point, when you're spending the most, and we spend more every single year, and you have the worst performance, you've got to say, wait, maybe there's something wrong here. And a lot of parents during COVID, they took their kids out. They saw what was going on in the schools. And, you know, because there was Zoom classes for a lot of that. And mm-hmm. so people saw the lack of education, the undiscipline, the disorganization. So a lot of kids got pulled out of it. This is not a simple problem that's just, oh, it's just because of, you know, this bad administrator or just this funding structure. This is a more complicated problem. But we spend a lot of money and we get a poor performance. So we've got to say, well, how do we fix this and why is that the case? Part of that is if you look at it, we fund on a per student basis. So as people pull their kids out to homeschool or people pull their kids out because they're moving to Tennessee because the cost of living is too high in Alaska or because, you know, let's be honest, one of the reasons you move to an area is for the jobs and the cost of living and then maybe there's something about the area you like the hiking or whatever. But if you've got a young family, one of the determining factors of where you live is the schools. So if you have poor schools, it will cause people to leave. So you have all these different factors causing people to leave and pull their kids out of the schools, we fund per student. Well, if you have half the students in your building, your costs are not half the cost, right? So all of a sudden, your cost per student goes up dramatically. And so one of the problems we have in Alaska, and this is partially a legislature problem, it's partially a broader economic problem, which goes into the energy conversation we had earlier about jobs and growing the state. It goes into the tax conversation we'll have later. But part of the problem is right-sizing the schools for the community. And so when you build a $15 million school in a town that has 20 students, you're going to have problems. You're going to have a big cost to upkeep that building in the following decades and a high cost to maintain that building. We don't do one-room schoolhouses anymore, right? And so you have villages or small towns that have multi-million dollar facilities that there's a big maintenance issue with them. So that's one of the things. But even in the bigger communities, because populations have been declining, we're having to address conversations about school closures. And that's an uncomfortable but necessary conversation unless you can get the growth happening. If you can grow it, you don't have to have that conversation. You're expanding and everybody's happy, right? But when you're shrinking and all of a sudden you have half the students in a building, that's a big problem. And so then what happens is you keep going back to the legislature and you say, you need to raise taxes on people or businesses because we need twice as much money per student. Well, that's a downward spiral. At some point, that doesn't work, right? And that's the conversations Alaska's in. So we either have to reform, you know, how we fund schools and what size of buildings they have and what's appropriate for the community, or we have to get growth going to fill those schools again. Because if we just keep asking for less students every single year and more money per student, that's a way you bankrupt the state. Education's our biggest cost. And so this is not a small issue. This is a really big issue. You know, in early 2000s, my family got a contracting job. It was the first commercial contracting job I worked on. And we went out to a small village in Alaska and we remodeled a bathroom at the school. And I think there was 25, this is maybe in like 2004, so I might be remembering a little bit wrong, but something like 25 students in the village. And we were making the bathrooms handicap accessible, right? Which makes sense. So that was a $100,000 or $200,000 remodel for those bathrooms. But the funny thing is the community was grumpy about it because they didn't have any handicapped kids and we were making the bathrooms for the rest of the kids smaller, taking out stalls and stuff to make it. So you had a federal mandate and you had some federal funding. So the state approved it, but it wasn't what the community needed or wanted. I was told, well, you know, there might be one handicapped kid that moves here next year, maybe. Like, so some of this is a conversation about like culture and standards and what's acceptable. And we have drifted into this society. It goes back to that conversation we were having about infrastructure last time. You know, you can have be a Western developed wealthy nation and squander that by poor decisions, right? And that's part of the problem with the schools. Another problem with the schools is we have more and more money flowing to the buildings and into the academics and the – I mean, not the academics, excuse me, away from academics, into HR and things like that. And so that's an issue that has to be addressed is how do you get more money into the classroom and less into the sort of ancillary tasks? And some of this really – I think a huge part of this is what – so let me take a step back here and say – part of the reason people are going to homeschool and charter schools and private schools like you talked about is there's a Harvard study that came out a few years ago in Alaska that found Alaska's consistently amongst the worst states in the country for academic on our public schools, right? But in our charter schools and private schools and homeschools, we're consistently among the top in the country. Well, how is that you have – well, people say, well, yeah, it's the same communities but it's different population. And I think that's largely – the issue. There's other factors, you know, who your teachers are and how your academic structure and what your school board is. You know, some charter schools have a better program, a better design. But a huge part of it is parent involvement.
Yeah.
If you send your kids and you don't pay attention, you don't do discipline at home, and you send your kids to a school where they're not allowed to do discipline because our culture has moved away from that, and you're not involved, and those kids act up and they're disrupting the kids who are there at the public school trying to learn. I substitute taught years ago and I had one or two classes where one or two kids ruined it for 30 other kids because they just, I could not get them to control. And so then it was, well, I'll send this kid to the counselor. And I found out the counselor just lets him drink soda and hang out in the office. And I thought, well, I don't want to
reward the bad behavior.
Exactly. So then the teacher is stuck at the position of this kid is ruining it for the other kids. But where do you find the balance of still getting that kid involved, right? Rather than just rewarding them for their bad behavior. So we have to address discipline in school. And part of that is addressing it with the parents and going back to the parent-teacher model. And that's, I think, where charter schools, homeschools excel is the parents made an active decision to get involved in their kids' education. Yeah. And I mean, it goes back to, Jesse, conversations you and I've had in the past, several episodes ago, we talked about the value, you know, that a mother or a father can have on their family when they step up and get involved and be a role model and care, even if they didn't have that for themselves. And that's a huge part of the problem. We just talk about the funding issue for schools. And I think that's like trying to solve the symptom rather than the root cause.
Right.
The root cause is you got to get parents involved. You got to get discipline and you got to get people that love and care for those kids. And you can't just turn your kids over to a teacher and expect that it's going to be perfect. So it's a cultural issue that we have to address. And part of that is electing leaders who will lead, right? There's a difference. Sometimes we elect managers or representatives, but well, you see this in business, a lot of entrepreneurs, some people are good managers and other people are leaders, right? There's bosses and managers and leaders. Like there's a difference, right? So the schools issue is a very complicated, you know, multifaceted issue, but it's one we have not been improving. We have not been solving other than the charter schools and stuff, the homeschools, that's been improving. But for the brick and mortar, those parents often on the bottom end of the social economic scale, we have got to address and fix the public school issue. That's just huge. And finances are definitely a part of it, but that cannot be the only part. And a huge part of that, I'm just going to say, it matters who you elect, governor, lieutenant governor, who they appoint to the school board at the, you know, state level and stuff, and the legislature, which laws they pass and the funding they do. But a huge part of that, people have got to step up and take responsibility.
Hmm.
In this town, it's not primarily the governor who decides how the Fairbanks North our district's composition is. It's we elect a school board, and we've been for decades electing a very, very poor school board. They hire people, administrators and managers and principals, and they administer. So it is the responsibility mostly for fixing this. People don't want to hear this, but it's on you. Like it's on me. It's on the local community. Yes. Are we getting involved in making sure the most competent, good people with a wide, diverse skill set are appointed? And this is one of the problems that I see is on the Animal Control Commission, I was the only finance guy. Well, I look often on the school board and you don't see finance people. You just see, you know, moms that care about kids, and that's great. And you want those moms in there because you need people that know about kids. You need people that know about education, but you also need people that can hold the administrators to account and say, hey, look, that's not an efficient use, or we need to hire a different principal because this one is not up to par, right? Mm. So you need business owners too. And unfortunately, a lot of times on our school boards and other, you know, committees or commissions, you get people that are interested in the specific thing. I love animals. I'll be on the animal control. Well, that's great, but we also need some people that can, you know, we need lawyers on there. We need people that have run business. You need people that have a diverse set of skills.
So true. That's huge. That's so important to look at it like that, because up until I started finding out what you've done and your intention and your reasoning and your background, for me, it's just like, oh, well, that, you know, that your organization's got some problems, you know, like they're going to go down the drain. But when you care enough to actually dig in, I think that's one of the biggest problems too. Why, right? We see, I don't think anybody's blind here in the state of Alaska. Mm-hmm. For them not to see that there are problems right here, right? But when you don't care, when you start electing leaders, mayors, governors, anybody in a high position, when you don't care and you're like, oh, whatever, my vote doesn't count, you can't get mad. You mm-hmm. can't get upset. You cannot, you know, start kicking rocks or throwing them when you don't see things going the way that you thought that, you know, they were supposed to, especially when it comes to kids. I mean, the education system is huge for me. I've always, this is probably not the best example, but when I was in school, I got in a lot of arguments with my teachers, especially when it came to history class. The material was garbage. Was garbage. And I've always asked them, like, why is it that my big brother and my big sister, when they were in school, I saw their textbooks. Why is it that the Mexican-American War is a little bit different than this one?
Right.
Why is it that material keeps changing? Why are they so gung-ho, sold out on, like, hey, if this material does not come back to school, you're going to get fined $500 or $1,000 a textbook. And the whole reasoning behind this was I wanted to know why. I wanted to know why are we being fed this? And at that age, it was not something that the teachers liked. Mm. But there are so many people out there, like you said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Like, get involved. Start mm-hmm. throwing votes out there. Like, really know who you're voting for. So that way, if things go south, you'll know why. It's not something like, well, you know what? Somebody else can have my vote. My vote's not going to matter. And then you find out that they're ruining your school that your kid's going to. And now you find out, you get an email, you get a call. Hey, we're shutting down the school. Your kid's going to have to find another spot. Guys, we're going to cut to a short break. Don't go anywhere, because when we get back, we're going to continue where we last left off on this whole school issue in the state of Alaska.
Building Alaska will be back after these messages on KFAR Radio.
Fairbanks is raving about the technology available for your home from the folks at GenSolar. From the Tesla solar technology and their amazing sleek power walls, to the always dependable Generac system and EcoFlow battery systems, all for your home or business, all designed to keep your home safe from power outages while feeding power back to the grid and saving you time and money. See for yourself and get all of your questions answered in their amazing new showroom, 29 College Road, right across from the Bentley Mall. Open 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. GenSolar.
Attention business owners, event coordinators, and sports leagues. 97.5 KFAR Radio has the perfect tool to help you get the word out. It's our weekly 50-50 Friday offer from Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station, and KFAR. Every Friday at 9 a.m. on our website, kfarradio.com, we feature a different half-price offer from a local business where we promote your business on 8 of the top radio stations in Fairbanks for an entire week. Every hour, every day. Plus 100 ads that run the following week. It's 50-50 Friday. And when we don't have a current offer, log on to kfarradio.com anyway to see what deals may still be available from previous weeks. When it comes to marketing your business, nothing works like local radio. And nothing on local radio works better than 50-50 Friday. From 97.5 FM KFAR Radio and Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station. Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. Behind the Mission with United Way at 11:30, followed by Sensible Health Solutions with White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Alaska Tracks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. All 4 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to Building Alaska on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back to Building Alaska, guys. This is Jesse on KFAR Radio. And with me, my co-host is Josh Church. Guys, we just got done talking about right before the break what is happening when it's coming to the school, the schools, and the issue with the school district here in Alaska. Right before or during the break, Josh and I were just talking. You know, one of the things that really irritated my teachers was asking questions. And I realize why. When I was a kid in high school, history was my favorite class. History and science. I liked blowing things up.
History was my favorite.
It's so cool. But history is like, man, we came from these things. You got to learn, like, the ground that you were walking on. Mm-hmm. The earlier settlers were, I'm from Portland, Oregon. So the Oregon Trail mm-hmm. was huge for me. And then just seeing how the material changed and then what they're giving, what they're indoctrinating, you know, kids to think. I was like, man, why is the material constantly changing? So when I started asking my history teacher, oh, he didn't like that. Now I think I know why. Because that's what they're paid for. They're just paid to deliver the book, deliver the material, and then come home to a check. There's no more care. There's no more, you know, taking the initiative and thinking a little bit outside the box and preparing kids, you know. But the other big problem that I saw in school was, and it frustrated me, was there weren't the curriculum, the material, the classes, all the things that they had to offer. 90 to 95% of that stuff was never going to prepare us for the future. There was one program, I'll never forget this, and I know my family's listening because they support this show in the lower 48. ACE was an awesome school. If you were a boy, sometimes, you know, girls liked it too. But ACE was a school that was partnered with our high school, that the bus would actually take you from the high school every other day and take you to that building. It was about maybe like 4 or 5 miles away, and they had ACE stood for architecture, C, construction, and E for engineering. And they specifically had three classrooms, and you were broken up. You got to choose which one you wanted. But first, they let you see what each one had to offer to, spike your interest. And whatever one you saw more attractive, you were working. They gave you hands-on experience. They got you tools. They showed you everything you could possibly think of. Then I found out there was another school, NWCC, Northwest College of Construction. I learned masonry. I learned welding. I learned carpentry. I learned so many different trades in one school. That disappeared literally a few years right after that. But to know that that school offered something that could benefit my life in the future, that was huge. And the reason why I got, you know, attracted to that was because of my older brother. Man, the first thing I remember hearing what he said was when he came home from high school and he became a part of this program, he would always bring home the word apprenticeship, apprenticeship, apprenticeship. I thought it was such a cool word. I'm like, what is that? He goes, well, the apprenticeship program, they will teach you and they'll get you a job where they'll pay you to learn as you go. I'm like, man, that's so cool. And just a little bit of time goes by, not even a full year. He's got his car. He's got enough cash in his bank or in his wallet to where he got his own place. He started allowing us to come over, hang out. He always had a full refrigerator. He had toys. He had all these things. I'm like, man, this kid, whatever happened in that program, set him up, and he became a supervisor at Skanska, a huge, huge construction company in the lower 48, all the way to where he started working at Intel, making some serious good money. Great benefits. He loved his job, learned so much, but now he's married and his life has been set up because of what was offered in a school system way back in the day. You don't see these things anymore.
Right.
Parents, teachers are not, they don't care anymore. They don't want to ask questions. It's easier for them to take their kids, give them to somebody else to babysit because the state is paying for it.
Yep.
And hopefully when they get older, they'll be better than what the parents were when they were at that age. You can't do that. That's gambling. That kind of gamble is not worth.
Right.
It's not. But you're talking about the school system and just where it's at. This is just nuts.
Well, you're super passionate about this, which is awesome. Maybe one day you'll run for school board. We need that passion, and you're so right. There's so much there that you just hit on, and there's a like so many different ways. I don't even know where I want to respond to that. But I would just say one of the things people don't discuss enough. We have moved away from the trade schools. With my generation, everybody was told go to college, and there's a shortage in the trade skill set, right? And so trades are now making more than most college mm-hmm. professions, right? Mm-hmm. There's a huge demand, and we need to get back to pushing trades. One, because our economy needs it. Two, yes. because it's good jobs. But here's the part people don't talk about. You need it to be of sound mind. And people are going to say, what are you talking about? Philosophy is great. A lot of the liberal arts stuff are great. I have a liberal arts degree. That said, it's dangerous to get a liberal arts degree without first having a lot of real world experience. Mm. Here's the problem with academia in a large part today. If you are a high school student or a college student and you don't have any experience, and I ask you what you think is the right amount of like oil spillage that should be allowed on the North Slope, or I ask you what the right carbon dioxide level that we should allow in the world is, or whatever. We pick some issue. If you don't have the experience to know about it, it's all just theoretical. We can argue up and down, and in the end, what we're really doing, and nobody talks about this, but most liberal arts degrees, I believe today, have a huge problem with prattle. We talk about things without an understanding. And so it's just big words and talking. And I'll give you a specific example. So I was in a class and they discussed for a while the concept that words are violence. Okay. And, you know, words are violent, right? When you tell me something I don't like, it can cause me psychological pain, right? Well, guess what? When I have to do logarithmic math or learn something new, that's frustrating and painful, right? Learning is painful, whether that's in the form of a constructive criticism or in studying a new problem and working something out. So when you spend time with students, allowing them to discuss and you don't settle it with that understanding, but you allow it to be on equal footing, that if I walk away from that class with the idea that, yes, words are violence, so therefore there's an equation between if you say something I don't like, maybe I'm justified in doing physical violence to you. That is a dangerous philosophy. Very. So if you can discuss it as long as you get to the end of the point, which they didn't, that this is a dangerous philosophy. Yeah. What you have done is you haven't educated students, you've let them prattle on about different philosophical opinions, and they walk away with no practical improvement in their life, but maybe actually a negative. I'll give you one more example. I had a discussion with a graduating senior. We were both graduating seniors, and we were discussing the president's actions involved in some conversations and stuff. And the specifics don't really matter, but I was undecided as to whether or not the president did the right thing. The other person was completely against it. So I thought, well, let's do the Socratic method and we'll kind of flush this out and I'll come to a conclusion, but he will too, but we'll see where we end up on this. So I started with the thought process, okay, how does the system normally work, right? And so, mind you, we're political science graduates, right? So we're about to have a bachelor's degree in civics, basically, in government, how it functions. And the very first conversation was I asked a question like, well, when the FBI reaches out to their liaison, their FBI agent who's in Zimbabwe or whatever, who makes that conversation? Who authorizes it? Under what authority does that FBI agent have to operate over there? And the person said, well, there's no FBI agents overseas. That's the CIA. I said, no. The CIA does intelligence, so they have analysts overseas. But we have FBI agents around the world because they coordinate with Interpol and other, countries' law enforcement, right? And so they have some sort of a coordination process. Does that happen through the Secretary of State? Does that happen through the president? How does that happen was my question. Well, we never got past the argument of the fact of whether or not there were FBI agents. Well, I knew there were FBI agents there because I worked with them when I was in the military overseas, right? They trained with us, right? So I knew how the system works from practical experience.
Yes.
But this young man graduated believing he had a degree and he was qualified as some sort of an expert in how government works. Well, ignorance is bad, but when you combine it with a confidence or an arrogance that you know the system, you're worse off.
That's bad.
I would argue that was an example where that student was worse for the education. At least if he hadn't have spent 4 years, he would have known he didn't know how the system worked. And so there is a lot. When you send people to trade schools, they get a real practical, just like an engineer in a Bachelor of Science, they get a practical degree. They learn a skill. It's not just theoretical. Once you have a good working knowledge of life, you're in your 30s or something, go get a philosophy degree. But if you get a philosophy degree or a liberal arts degree at 18, you could be in danger of believing. The President Reagan said it best. And this is one of the biggest problems in America, in my opinion, today. The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. The trouble is that they know so much that isn't true. That is the biggest problem, in my opinion, with education today. If you educate people in things that are not true, you actually damage them. And a trade school does not have that problem.
Yeah.
You got to learn practical skills first, get a real grounding and a basis for your understanding of the world. We need to look at things from how the world is, not how it ought to be. First, exactly. We start with how it is. And that's the biggest problem with Karl Marx. And this bleeds into everything else you were just talking about with this. I'll send the kids to school and I'll ignore them and they'll come back better. Well, if the school was a great school and we were sending out top of the nation, that might work. But the reality is that's not happening.
Exactly.
And so you need to address the world as it actually is and then push for change, not how it ought to be.
Very, very good. Very well put, Josh Mann. Thanks. It's always a pleasure having you on here and just hearing the way that you think. This is so true. This is a problem that, like you said, it starts with the parents. It starts with what's happening at home. And if you think that your school system is going to do a better job of raising your kid and you're not on that same level, there's going to be an issue. And you cannot be surprised if that kid grows up to not be the kid that you thought they were going to be. Guys, we are unfortunately at our end of our show. I hope that you guys have been blessed by the show, being educated a little bit more about what's happening and what you can do a little bit on your end as well. Guys, stay tuned in because Josh Church will be with us again for next week's episode. Again, this is Building Alaska on KFAR Radio, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Building Alaska on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to kfarradio.com and go to our archives page. Building Alaska is a production of Last Frontier Media Active and this radio station.